Grace and Peace, Hickman Community Church. Thanks for joining us via YouTube here, and we can fellowship through this and fellowship around the Word. I want to share some thoughts from God's Word tonight from Psalm 62, but first I want to give some announcements before we go into that. Things that are coming up in April. First of all, the Women's Spring Luncheon is coming Saturday, April 4th. It'll be at 11:30 a.m. Remember, that's the outreach event for the women's ministry. So be thinking about who you want to bring to that event. Also, the Men's Breakfast is coming April the 18th. That's going to be at 8 a.m., starting at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pastor Andy's going to be giving the message, and Gary Acosta Sr. is going to be giving his testimony. Also, at the end of the month, the yard sale is coming April 24th and 25th. That's a Friday and Saturday. We are accepting donations, but be mindful. There's certain things that you don't want that we don't want either. So talk to Alyssa Cotta about that. Also wanted to mention in May, the ISI Men's Conference is coming. It's coming May 15th through the 16th. That's a Friday night and Saturday. And in light of the ISI Men's Conference, we would like to have a special donation time, or a special time where you can give to the needs of the conference. Now, we're not meeting together, so you're not able to give here through the offering. But if you would like to give to the ISI Men's Conference, if you would, just simply go online. You can go to hickmanchurch.org or even isiconference.org, and you can make a donation there, and that will help that ministry coming up in May. And then also wanted to mention to you that the elders met with Noel Heckinger, as well as Miguel and Christina Alcantar for membership. And so we just want to put them before you and ask you if there's any biblical reason that you know of as to why they shouldn't join this local body. Please let us know. Otherwise, we will affirm them as members at our next members meeting, which of course we'll determine when that is to come. So if you want to take out your Bibles with me, please do so and turn to Psalm chapter 62. Psalm 62. Well, we're experiencing an unprecedented health crisis right now with the coronavirus outbreak, and we've never seen a pandemic like this in over 100 years. Some of you will remember the events of 9/11 and see similarities to what's going on now. You'll remember back then and even consider now the shock and the questions and the confusion, the anxieties, the panic, the fear, all of those things that were going on at that time are going on now. Others of you who didn't go through that, this is your first time experiencing such extraordinary circumstances. Well, the question that we always ask ourselves is, what do we do in a time like this? Well, some, as you know, have responded with panic buying, and they're going to stores and clearing out the shelves of all of their goods, mostly the paper goods that they have at those stores. Others may simply be brushing this off and minimizing or not taking seriously any of the health risks. I don't think we should do either of those. But we understand, though, that we can't control the circumstances that are around us. But we can control our response to the circumstance around us. So to help us in our response to the very serious bad news of this pandemic, we need to go to God and we need to go to His Word. And so I want to share some thoughts with you from Psalm 62 that have been an encouragement to me, and I hope will be an encouragement to you at this difficult time. Psalm 62 was written by David, most likely during the rebellion of his son Absalom. And it was during this time that David was being chased by Absalom. And so he didn't simply stick around Jerusalem and see what would happen. He took safety precautions and he got out of town. But as he did this, as he left, his heart was responding to the circumstances that he was in, not with fear, but he was dealing with these things by trusting in God. And as he went to God, he found grace and peace in the midst of this turmoil. Well, likewise, you and I, during this pandemic, we're taking health and safety precautions. We're washing our hands. We're not meeting publicly here. And we're doing those things, But we still need to be mindful and ask the question, where are our hearts and our minds? Where are we trusting God at this time? Just as David fled Jerusalem but trusted the Lord, likewise, we're taking precautions and we want to trust the Lord as well, even in the midst of these things. So Psalm 62, I want to read 5 through 8 and then 11 and 12. But David says this, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." And then 11 and 12 say, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord." In this psalm, David, we see he's speaking to himself. He says soul, but he's also speaking to others. He's speaking to the nation. But as he does this, speaking to himself and speaking to the nation, he describes how they might experience God's grace and peace during this during a time of need. And so we can experience God's grace and peace during the time of our need by seeing what David has written here. Notice in Psalm 62, 5, he gives the requirement for experiencing God's grace and peace. He says, "My soul, wait in silence for God only." It's interesting that David is speaking to himself. He's preaching to himself, and he is saying, wait. Wait for God in silence. One commentator said this is the unmurmuring submission to God's will. His silence came from either the fact that neither his words have all been said or his words will not come. But he says, "My soul, wait in silence for God only." The issue at hand is for God only to handle. So the requirement he says here is wait. Scripture says in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. We're not to be anxious about things that are going on in our lives. We are to trust in the Lord. And part of trusting is waiting. God delights to be trusted in. And so part of trusting is just patiently, without complaining, waiting upon the Lord. And as we wait, the Lord will deliver in his time and in his way. David goes from the requirement, and now he talks about reasons why we should wait for God alone. And he writes, "For my hope is from him. My hope is from him." And then look at verse 6, he says, my, over and over. He says, "He only is my rock." That's another reason we should trust in him. He says, "And my salvation, my stronghold." Verse 7, he says, "On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God." Those are all reasons he gives for why he can rest in God, why he can wait patiently in God. He says, "My hope is from him." God is our source of hope. He is our ground of hope. He is the true north, if you will, to which all hope points. It is in him, and it's not in anyone else. My hope is from him. I've used a catechism with my children called the New City Catechism. And the first question asks this. It says, "What is our only hope in life and death?" And the answer is that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's your only hope in life and death? What's the source of your hope? What's the ground of your hope? David says, "My hope is from him." The Catechism teaches us to say that our hope is in God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in wealth. Our hope is not in health. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrected one who overcame death. The Lord Jesus Christ is the soon returning one, as Paul says, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ will renew this earth someday as he comes as the reigning one. For my hope is from him, my rock, my salvation, my stronghold, my salvation, my glory, my strength, my refuge is in him. David also talks about the result of his hope. He's listed reasons for his hope, all these things that God is, and now he talks about the reason for his, the result for his hope, or the result of his hope, and he says in verse 6, I shall not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. He says, I'm stable. I'm unmoved. I'm unwavering. The wicked are like chaff, Psalm 1 says, which the wind blows, but the righteous are like a tree firmly planted. In God and in God alone, we will not be shaken. As the psalmist says, though the earth give way and the mountains crumble into the sea, we will not be shaken. How could we be shaken? With all that God is, how could we be shaken? With all that God is, how could we be shaken? And notice here, he says, mine, 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 meaning all that he is mine. All that he is, I have in him. One man said, the more he is tried, the more he is found trustworthy. That's the result of understanding who God is. Well, David turns to the nation and calls on them to trust the Lord for grace and for peace. He says, trust in him at all times, O people. O people. Not only does David practice what he preaches, but he preaches what he practices. He says, trust in him at all times, O people. Now, there are some times that are more trying than others, but David says at all times are a time to trust. He says we need to trust him at all times, in season and out of season. But also he says there in verse 8, he says, pour out your heart before him. This is prayer. This is going to the Lord in prayer. At the beginning of verse 5, he says, wait in silence. There's a time for silence before the Lord and just waiting patiently. But also there's a time for pouring out your heart before him. You and I ought to pour out our hearts before him as Hannah did. Remember when Hannah went to the tabernacle and she poured out her heart before the Lord as she pleaded for a son to overcome her barrenness? We should pour out our hearts before him like Jeremiah did in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him. We should pour out our hearts before him as Jesus Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane, who said, not my will, but your will be done. An act of faith is to pour out our hearts before him. We tell him our pain. We tell him our worries and our anxieties. David goes on to say, just like he said of himself, my refuge is in God. In verse 8, he said, God is a refuge for us. That's why. That's why you can trust him, because he is a refuge for us. He is a help for us. A refuge is a place to go, a place to hide, a shelter. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. And he goes on to say, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." A refuge is a safe place to go. Not because there's no trouble, but because there is trouble. So we go to God, who is our refuge in time of trouble. He is that refuge for us. Well, in verses 11 and 12, David closes his poem here with the realization of God's attributes. And he writes, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord." Power belongs to God, loving kindness is yours. Power on the one hand, and loving kindness on the other hand. They belong to him. They are his. Now, what if God had one and not the other? What if God had power but no faithful love, no loving kindness? Well, you and I would be the objects of his wrath, and his power would come upon us and we would be incinerated. That's what would happen if God had power but no loyal or faithful love. Well, what if he had only loyal or faithful love and no power? Well, that'd be pretty disappointing, because we would have a well-meaning but impotent God if he was full of loving kindness but not power. But in God are both of these qualities: strength as well as desire. Strength to do you good as well as desire to do you good. Ability to do you good and an affection for you to do you good. Power as well as love. Well, David said, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this." He heard this from the Lord. Well, have you heard these sweet and reassuring words from God? Well, how do we hear from God? We hear from God when we let his truth break through our fears and we listen. We take him at his word. We believe the promises of God that are stated in his word, and we listen. Then we hear from God. And then we can say, as it says in Psalm 28:7, "My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song, I shall thank him." Well, dear friends, this is an all times that we should be trusting in the Lord. We trust in him at all times. And we recognize that truly trusting in God doesn't mean we're ignorant of the circumstances. Truly trusting in God means that we have knowledge of all the issues and all the stakes, but we find his grace and his peace anyway. We can trust in God and find his grace and peace when we recognize he is our refuge and we go to him as our refuge. Remember, Psalm 90, verse 1 says, "You have been our dwelling place from all generations." And then Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Dear friend, are you finding grace and peace from your God? Friend, may you wait for him in silence. May you trust in him at all times. May you pour out your heart before him, and may you listen to him to find his grace and his peace at this troubling time. Well, I think it's fitting that we pray, even though we're doing this online. I think it's fitting that we pray together. Our president declared that March 15th should be a national day of prayer. And the Southern Baptist Convention also said that March 15th should be set aside or dedicated to prayer. And I found the prayer request of the Southern Baptist Convention that they recommended to pray through, and I thought those would be useful to us just to mention to you, and then I'd like to use those as our prayer requests for our time. But they've given four prayer requests. The first is this. They say, ask God in His mercy to stop this pandemic and save lives, not only in our communities, but around the world, particularly in places that are unequipped medically to deal with the virus. Secondly, pray for President Donald Trump and other government leaders, international, federal, state, and local, to have the wisdom to direct us in the best courses of action for prevention and care. Thirdly, they say Scripture says, teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Pray that the Lord will give us wisdom in this moment of fear as the foundations of what we know are shaken, that others would realize how fragile life is and how real eternity is, and they would see their need to turn to God. And then fourthly, they say, ask God to protect our missionaries and their families around the globe, using this global crisis to advance His good news to the whole world. And we want to be mindful of our missionaries, and especially the Spitali family that's in Italy, which is an area that's been heavily hit by the virus. So I'd like to pray now. So would you pray with me? Let's go before the Lord. Oh, Father in heaven, You are our King, and we are Your servants. You are our Father, and we are Your children. And we come to You as servant and as child right now. We want to honor You, we want to worship You, and we want to request Your help. Our hope is from You. We declare that. We know that our hope is from You. You are our strength and our shield and our refuge. And so we want to offer these requests to You. Oh, Father, in Your mercy, would You stop this pandemic that's going on, and would You save lives? I recognize that this pandemic is because we live in a sin-cursed earth. And these things will always be so until Your Son renews this earth. But we ask that out of Your mercy and Your kindness that You would stop it, and that You would save lives. I ask that You would also help those locations that are particularly unequipped medically to deal with these things. May Your mercy be upon them. Oh, Father, I also want to ask for our leaders, President Donald Trump and other government officials and those in Stanislaus County. I pray that You would grant them wisdom, that You would grant them clarity and foresight and vision and understanding as to how they can best protect the citizens that they oversee. And they oversee because You've installed them in that place. Lord, they are Your servants. But God, would You grant them that wisdom, the wisdom that they need for the best courses of action for prevention as well as care of those who are dealing with this virus. And Father, we pray that You would use this to help believers to just be reminded that we ought to number our days, that we're not promised any breath, any long life, but teach us to number our days so that we can present to You a heart of wisdom. But God, I pray that You would use this pandemic to show sinners in this world that they cannot trust in anything but You, their Creator, and the only one who can be their Savior. So Lord, remind us of how fragile life is through this, but also, as they've said, how real eternity is. And may we use this as Christians. May we use this for the Great Commission to proclaim Your authority and Your glory throughout this earth until You come. And we ask, Father, that You would protect missionaries that are serving in other parts of this globe, that You would protect them from this outbreak, that You would protect the Hurleys in Uganda, the Schneiders in Chile, the Spitalis in Italy especially, God. Minister to them, provide for their needs of food and water. Bless the Freibergs as they're in Indonesia. And God, may this be a time where, I guess we could say, You are trusted in more. and you are found to be more trustworthy than we ever thought. So God, grant your grace and your peace through this, and may we be faithful to you and find you faithful. It's through Christ Jesus, your Son, that I present these requests to you. Amen.